I am very, very excited about being here with you guys. And I'm all caffeined up, so hopefully I'll be able to keep you guys awake like I'm going to be awake this morning. But as you're turning to Philippians chapter 1 this morning, that's where we're going to be. I want to challenge you guys to serve the Lord with all your heart, but it all starts with the where your focus is at. And that's what I'd like to speak to you about, is what Paul's single focus was. And it all starts here in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 is written by Paul. And you know, Philippians is a book that was written about joy. And you know, Paul, he writes this book to update a church because he is on trial. He's been illegally arrested and put in jail, right? So I started thinking, how could Paul write a book on joy while he is illegally arrested and put into jail? I mean, that doesn't sound like a very joyful time to me, right? I mean, but Paul was able to do it, and I truly believe it's because of where his focus was at. Because his focus wasn't on himself. It wasn't on his own circumstances. It was on what the Lord had called him to do. Remember in Philippians chapter 4, he tells us to rejoice in the Lord always. Because his focus was on God and what God wanted for his life. And then we get to verse 12, and that's where we're going to begin today. In verse 12, Paul says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." You see, my dear friends, Paul says this. He says in the beginning of our message, he says, "Look, my fellow Christians," as he writes this to update a church, he writes this as a letter. He says, "I want you guys to understand something." He says, "Everything that's happened to me," meaning the false accusations, the illegally imprisonment, all the mocking, humiliation, the beatings, all these adverse things have happened to me for one solid reason. His single focus was the furtherance of the gospel. And I truly believe that it doesn't just start there. It starts with what we know as the great commandment. The Great Commission. You know, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." You know, as Jesus ended up living on this world, he lived a perfect life being God. The Son of God came down to this world, and he ended up living 33 years perfect. And he ended up sacrificing himself, dying on the cross. And as he ended up dying, he rose again 3 days later, defeating the death. And that's what we know as the gospel, right? But as he ended up rising again from the dead, before he ascends into heaven as a miraculous thing, he speaks to his fellow believers, his disciples, and he says one last thing. "Go into the world and tell them about me." That's what he says. And it's a very, very exciting thing, because as he does that, I start thinking about something. My uncle, he gave me a very great example. And so, pastor over here, he's a very, very great and fashionable man, you know? So pastor here, one day, my uncle told me this example, and I love telling it. But pastor here, he's a very fashionable man. And one day, he wanted to make this church look fantastic for you guys, just to surprise you. So 1 week later, he said that the church wasn't going to be used for a whole week, and he was going off on a retreat with you guys. So he got me, the missionary. He said he wanted to paint the entire auditorium to make it look a little bit fresh, you know? So he said, so he wanted to paint it all a nice blue for you guys. So he tells me that. So if day one, as you guys are gone, I start taping everything, prepping everything, covering the carpet, because, you know, we don't want paint on the carpet. And as I do it, I start going over to this wall here, and I start painting. You know, I get to the back wall, and that's a pretty big wall. I start getting bored. I mean, it's just a plain, generic blue. And I mean, I'm just painting. I mean, I'm not a painter. I'm a missionary, right? I mean, I don't do that for fun. So I start getting bored, and I start thinking, how can I make this place better for you guys? You know what I think? I started thinking about my little sister. She loves unicorns. So you know what I decided to do to make this freshen up and brighten y'all's day? I start painting unicorn murals all over the auditorium. You know, it goes good with the blue. And so it's got some pink unicorns and purple unicorns and some gold. And so the pastor, I'm thinking, man, this is going to look good for him. It's going to look fresh. That's exactly what he wanted. He wanted fresh. And so pastor comes back Saturday night. And of course, he's preaching Sunday morning. You guys are going to show up. And he sees me and he says, what in the world did you do to my auditorium? I mean, I gave you a simple task. Just paint it blue. Why in the world are there unicorns all over my auditorium? And he just rings me out. He said he gave me a simple task just to paint it blue. You know, the truth of the matter is that is our Christian lives a lot of the times. Because as we have been given a simple task to go into the world and tell them about Jesus Christ, a lot of the times we find ourselves painting unicorns. We're getting distracted. My dear friends, that's why I want this message for you guys. I truly believe that's why Paul had this message. So that your focus could be the sole focus that God wanted us to be focused on. The furtherance of the gospel. And so that's why Paul has this letter written, because he wants them to know, as he's updating them, his life, his focus is the furtherance of Jesus Christ. So that people could hear, because he knew how vital the gospel of Jesus Christ was. And my dear friends, I want to challenge you, because I truly believe that we could reach the world in our generation if we were all just to focus on the task at hand. It's the furtherance of the gospel. That's each and if you're a Christian in here, you have been called to get the gospel around the world. And that's the truth. And so Paul, he starts doing that. And God starts blessing. That's a cool thing, because if you want to be blessed by God, if you want to be used by God, then just start doing what Paul did. Focus on furthering the gospel. And I want to show you how Paul's ministry was blessed by God, and how God used Paul because of his focus, because of where his focus was. And so we get here to verse 13, and it just starts getting exciting. Because in verse 13, Paul says this, he says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. You know, if I was in Paul's shoes and I was illegally arrested because I was preaching Jesus as a missionary, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be writing a prayer letter to pastor, hoping that he'd read it to you guys, saying, guys, please pray that I get out of jail. I'd be looking up to Jesus, and I'd be like, as I'm in chains, I'd be like, God, please get me out of here. I mean, I need some good Chick-fil-A and Taco Bell. I mean, I need a good potluck. I need some good comfort food, right? Why? Because me, along with a lot of us Christians, we focus on ourselves whenever things go wrong. We pity ourselves, and that's because our focus is on how I'm doing. Because a lot of times our Christianity is selfish. You know, I read a book called Cat and Dog Theology. And you know, the truth of the matter is that book, it talks about how a viewpoint of a cat and a viewpoint of a dog is, because a dog, a dog and his owner, the dog thinks, oh, man, I mean, the owner feeds me. The owner takes care of me. The owner does everything for me. He must be God. And a cat thinks, the owner feeds me, the owner takes care of me, I must be God. And you know, the truth of the matter is that in our Christian lives, a lot of times God is taking care of us. God is blessing us. A lot of times our focus starts to begin on us. I mean, you think about it in our prayer life, how much we pray, God, please help me. God, bless me, my life. Because our Christian lives focus on who? The task at hand is to bless me. My American dream is about my success, about my family. You know, the truth of the matter is that Paul wasn't focused on himself. He was focused on the furtherance of the gospel, remember. And so this verse, he starts thinking about it, and he starts preaching the gospel. And he sees his chains, his imprisonment, as an advantage to the furtherance of the gospel. You say, why? How could that be an advantage? You know, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20, he actually brags about his chains, about being in prison. And because he sees this, you know, if you study up on the Roman guard, as he is imprisoned by the Romans, hours at a time, they were to be chained up to him. And so they every few hours, they'd swap shifts. But for hours at a time, Paul was chained up to these men. And instead of saying, Lord, get me out of here, he said, hang on a second. He said, so I'm chained up to this man here, and I'm chained up to this man here. You mean to say, I can preach the gospel, and they can't run away? So he just starts telling them about Jesus, and they can't do nothing about it, because, I mean, he's already on trial for it. So remember, he could die at any moment. He's not focused on himself. He's focused on people hearing about Jesus because he knows how important the gospel of Jesus Christ is. My dear friends, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ, let me tell you that it's the most important thing that could ever happen. Because if you die today without Jesus, you will be going on your way to hell. And that's because of your own sin. But God doesn't want that. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. And the only way that can happen is what we call the gospel. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, dying on the cross for your sins. And so Paul, he starts telling everybody about Jesus because he sees how important it is. And by the end of it, this verse starts coming into play. You say, what's happening? Christ is manifest, is made known in the palace with all these guards and in all other places. Meaning the gospel is getting out. And you know, this is great. I'm not really great at math, but this is pretty simple math to me. You see, Paul preaching the gospel is equal to people hearing the gospel. A preacher preaching the gospel is equal to people hearing the gospel. Now, let me have another equation for you. People around Glendale, Arizona, not hearing the gospel is equal to us Christians not preaching the gospel. That might be a convicting thing for you, and that might not. But the truth of the matter is that if people around you are not hearing the gospel, it is because you are not preaching the gospel. You know, Paul, he starts preaching the gospel, and the gospel starts getting out. You know, I think his focus, it's really exciting because, you know, I grew up in South Africa for about 6 years. I grew up in the States for about 13 years. So I really didn't have a great history for either of them, but I knew world history. So I love World War II. And, you know, I heard about this one gentleman. His job was to go out into battle. And as he was going to go out into battle, he wasn't really a fighter, but he went out to get the injured. So he'd go out to grab the injured and he'd bring them back to the base to get medical attention. And he'd drag them back and he'd go out and get them, and the sergeant keeps drilling him to go out there. And he'd go out and grab another and bring them back. And by the end of the day, he's exhausted. He's brought back like 20 people during battle, guns blazing, bombs going off. And he's brought them back and he's exhausted, sweating. But the sergeant says, all right, you can stop and just take a rest, get ready for tomorrow. And this young gentleman, he says, okay, I'll just go get one more. So he runs out and he grabs another and brings him back. Sergeant says, okay, you can go rest. And he says, I'll just go get one more. So he goes out and grabs another and drags him back. By the seventh or eighth time, I mean, sergeant catches on. And he starts asking, Private, why do you keep saying just one more? Why don't you just take a break? And he says something. I think Paul was saying as well. Because he said, look, if I don't go out and save that one more man, he could end up dying and I could have done something about it. I think that's Paul's idea in this. Because he just starts preaching to this man because he realized if he didn't preach to this young man here, if he died, he could have gotten to heaven if he would have known the gospel. He goes over to preach to this one more over here because this man needs to hear, because if he doesn't know, he could die and go to hell. So he just says, just one more. And Paul says, I just got to tell this guy over here. I just got to tell this one more over here. And just one more there. And just one more. And just one more. Because he realized if he doesn't tell those people could die. And their eternal soul could go to hell for all of eternity. So Paul's just focused on preaching the gospel. And by the end of verse 13, the gospel is getting out because he's so focused on it. And you know his boldness. It is so exciting because it starts changing people. Look at verse 14 with me. Verse 14 says this. And many of the brethren, the fellow Christians, and the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know, whenever Paul is put into prison, I mean, he's on trial. They don't know if he's going to die or not. Whenever his fellow Christians hear that, they start getting a little timid about preaching the gospel. Because they're like, oh, I don't want to be in Paul's situation. I don't want to be put in prison. So they get a little timid. But then they see, hang on a second. Paul's still preaching the gospel? Paul's still doing it? People still getting saved? God is blessing the ministry? Oh man, I got to start preaching Jesus too. I got to get bold about Jesus. And his boldness, it started causing these other Christians to become bold as well. You know that tells me that boldness is contagious. But what are we bold about? What are we bold about in our lives? What do we talk about? What do our lives shout? Do they shout Jesus? You know, it's a very silly example, but I am a very big college football fan. And I'm a Georgia boy, Georgia Bulldogs. So in your faces. No, I'm just kidding. This is the only year that I can brag about it because we won the national championship. But I remember growing up in South Africa, it's a 7-hour time difference. So when the national championship was playing at 2 a.m., we would wake up to watch it. And of course, it's Saturday. It's the day before game day for us because Sunday is game day. I mean, we're going out and preaching, teaching, but we'd still wake up to do it. We loved college football. But the truth of the matter is this is a silly example. How many times do we talk more and converse more about a silly football game more than we do about the amazing grace of God known as the gospel? My dear friends, what are we bold about? What do we talk about in our lives? You know, if you go to your family and you say, hey, what's my favorite thing in the world? Hey, what do I talk about most? That's going to give you your answer of what you're bold about. And I truly believe if we were bold about Jesus the way Paul was, then everybody in this room would start getting bold and we would start encouraging. I truly believe that if we were as bold as Paul, Glendale, Arizona would start being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. I truly believe that we could reach the world with the gospel if we started being bold about Jesus the way we ought to. But you see, society starts telling us that our religious beliefs, that our spiritual walks, that our spiritual conversations are private, that we don't need to share that. We need to coexist, that everything is okay, but we need to keep it to ourselves. But my dear friends, the gospel is not to be kept to ourselves. It's to be told to the world so that the world can hear about Jesus. But in order to do that, we need to become bold. We need to become bold about Jesus. If people want to hear the gospel, if people are going to be able to hear so that they can get saved, then we need to start talking about Jesus. And Paul starts doing that. And because of it, not only Paul, but he gets an entire team. He gets a warriors out there starting to preach the gospel as well. Because they see that Paul's in prison and he's doing it. He's preaching, he's teaching, and people are getting saved. So these people, they say, I can do that too. And God starts using them too. All because one man's boldness. You know, I have a friend, and he came to Bible college back whenever I was a teenager. But his name was Nate Wilkerson. He's a missionary in West Africa at the moment. But he had an Instagram account called Christ is Life. He's got like 40-something thousand followers on it. He's just an independent Baptist kid, but he just started screaming, Christ is life! Christ is life! And you know, whenever he came to our Bible college, I thought he was a nutcase. I mean, he's a little airhead, but he just, every conversation, he'd be like, Christ is life, brother. Hey, how was your food, Nate? Oh, it was great. Christ is life. But you know what was being said by the end of the 2 years of classes that he was doing? Everybody was screaming, Christ is life. Amen. You know, that boldness stirred other people to be bold about Christ. My dear friends, you have influence. But what are you using your influence for? If you were to be using your influence for Christ, people around you would start being influenced about Christ and they'd start talking about him more. My dear friends, God could use you if you just become bold about him. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. Paul started being used by God because of that. And then in verse 15 and 16, it says, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. So Paul, he's now got people preaching the gospel. But some people, truth be told, they're not doing it out of love. They're doing it out of envy and strife because they don't like Paul. And so they're actually doing it because, remember, he's on trial. They're trying to make matters worse for him, hoping that maybe this will make his trial a little bit worse. And they're trying to do it to make his life worse, but they're preaching the gospel nonetheless. And then other people, they're on the other side. They're doing it out of love because they love Paul. They know his heart is that people can get saved so they can go to heaven. And they're starting to add on, and they're trying to do it because they want people to be saved. And so they're preaching the gospel. So Paul's got these people preaching Jesus. And some are doing it because they're trying to hurt him. You know what us Christians do? A lot of times as we're focused on ourselves, we're like, hey guys, stop trying to make matters worse for me as I'm on trial. Because we're focused on us, right? But Paul wasn't like that. He's focused on the gospel. So he says, look, hang on a sec. I mean, they're trying to make matters worse for me, but they're preaching the gospel nonetheless. These people are doing it out of love. As long as they're preaching Christ, it's all okay. That's what he says in verse 18. Look with me. Verse 18, he says, what then? I mean, he sees these people preaching Christ. He says, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And that's why he could rejoice. He wrote this book on joy. And he could rejoice because Christ is preached. That's why he rejoiced. He says, as long as the gospel is being furthered, I'm okay with it. Because it didn't matter what happened to him. He wasn't worried about what was going to happen to him. He was worried about people hearing about Jesus. And then we get to verse 20. And this is where he pours out his heart. Verse 20, he says this. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, Paul says this. He shares his heart and he says, with everything in me, my earnest expectation and hope is this. He says, I never, ever, ever want to be ashamed of Jesus. Never want to be ashamed of Jesus. Imagine, my dear friends, if Paul was ashamed, the great missionary, the great apostle Paul, was ashamed of Jesus Christ. We know that in verse 13, that would never have happened. Christ would not have been manifest or made known in the palace and in other places. That only came because of Paul's boldness. We know that other Christians would never have become bold, because that only became because of Paul. We know that jailer would never have found Christ, because that only became because of Paul's boldness. And Paul is a very wise man, a very smart man. He realized what happened whenever he preached the gospel. And so he says, look guys, I never want to be ashamed of Jesus. I want to challenge you to say that in your hearts today. That I never want to be ashamed of Jesus. But instead, I want to be bold as always. You know, those two words, always, as always, is very important. Because, you know, as he was being beat, I guarantee you, as he's, man, he's thinking, man, I really don't want to preach Jesus right now. That's what his flesh is probably telling him. As sometimes in our lives, the flesh tells us, man, I really don't want to talk to that man over there about Jesus, as the Holy Spirit nudges you to. I really don't want to right now. I don't have time. I've got to go to work. I've got all these secular things in my life that I've got to do. I've got to go to the party. I've got to go home. I'm tired. You know, Paul went through those things. But Paul said, I want to be bold nonetheless. Because he realized how vital the gospel of Jesus Christ was. You know, as I spent 6 months in Peru, South America with the McCormicks, finalizing my training, I didn't speak a lick of Spanish going over there. And my Spanish now is worse, so please don't ask me to speak to you in Spanish afterwards, but I went over there trying to learn some Spanish. And I knew the words, hola, como estás, and the word pescado, because that's what fish, right? But I went over there and I knew I needed to learn Spanish because I needed to be able to tell people about Jesus. And so there was a park behind my house. There was about 30 young men my age playing soccer. And of course, I stick out like a sore thumb because I'm super tall. And these guys are about this tall. And they've got black hair and I've got blonde hair. At the time, my hair gets a little darker right now, but I really didn't stick out. But the reason I know I stuck out most was because I went over to these guys playing soccer and I yelled out, hola, como estas? And these guys are playing soccer and I guess I surprised them because the ball was still in play rolling and they got stopped in their tracks, looked at me and they just started laughing at me. And I'm thinking, what in the world did I get myself into? But as I started going more and more, I started learning more Spanish. And I started learning more about how to invite people to church, and God started blessing. I mean, my roommate bought a 1987 Volkswagen Beetle, and we fit 11 people into that thing to bring to church. God was blessing. But I remember a young man named Luis Fernando, and Luis was a devout Catholic. And I kind of bribed him like I was bribed whenever I was going to Vacation Bible School with candy and Coke. I bribed him with pizza and a Coke, so he came to lunch with me. Started sharing Jesus Christ with him. So I shared John 3:16, because that's a big one. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo, que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo aquel que no cree, no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. I started sharing Jesus Christ with Luis Fernando. And Luis ended up getting connected with Mitch McCormick. And I kind of bribed him. I knew his parents, and so I convinced him to let him come to church with me. And he ended up coming to church, and he ended up getting saved. It was amazing. God was blessing there in Peru, but what was surprised me was what happened afterwards. Because a week later, I started walking with him, and he started opening up with me. You know, his best friend committed suicide a couple weeks before he met me. And he was shooken up because his best friend was a Catholic, and he knew that his best friend was in hell. But then he told me something that shook me, because he said, you know, I was thinking because my best friend wasn't in this world anymore, I was thinking there was nothing left for me either, so I was going to do it too. And then he said, but then I met you and Mitch. I came to church and I met Jesus. And now he said that he's going to heaven for all of eternity. His life was changed. He's now being discipled by Mitch. God has blessed his life. But you know, the truth of the matter is that if we were not bold enough to tell him about Jesus, he would be in hell for all of eternity. My dear friends, we don't know when people are going to die around us. But we do know as Christians that Scripture says today is the day of salvation. So today is the day that we can go out for just one more. That we can go out just to tell one more, because if we don't tell them, who will? It's time, my dear friends, to get bold and be willing to sacrifice everything in our lives so that people can hear about Jesus. Paul says in the rest of the verse, he says, whether it be by life or by death, he wants to make Christ made known, manifest, magnified in his body. He said he was willing to give up everything for that. Are you willing to give up everything so that Christ could be magnified in your body? So that the gospel could be prevailed and made known around the world? You say, of course I am. But sometimes us as Christians, as we think about ourselves, we say, I'll give to missions, but I'm not going to give sacrificially. Other times we say, you know what? I'll go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But don't ask me to go out and outreach Saturdays. We're not willing to give up our time sometimes. We're not willing to sacrifice some of our time. I know we as Americans, we get busy with our schedules, and we like to fill them packed up so we can live great lives. But sometimes we're not even willing to go out and talk to that person at the gas station about Jesus. And we know that that person has never been to church. We know that person is going to hell. And yet we still are not willing to. Sometimes God is even calling us to give our lives so that we can go and tell other people about Jesus. God has called some of us to be missionaries. And the reason I know is because 95% of the population lives outside of the United States. You know what that tells me? It tells me there's a 95% chance that we should be outside of the United States too. Because God has called every one of us to reach the world with the gospel. But the truth is that sometimes we focus on ourselves. And that's where our lives stop being used by God. But God wants to use your life. And he wants to do it. If you would just sacrifice, be willing to sacrifice. And then Paul says this. He says, if I die, it's going to be gain. He says, if I die, I mean, it's going to be, oh no, they're going to take my life away? Oh, shucks, I get to go be with my Savior in heaven. Oh, no. It's going to be so terrible. No, it's going to be gain. It's going to be the best thing ever. This is what Paul said. But he said, you know what? If I live, if I make it past this trial, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for him. My dear friends, who are you living for? Where is your focus in life? It's time to stop painting unicorns. And start getting focused on the task at hand to get the gospel around the world. We can't just focus or depend on missionaries and the pastors. Because God has not given a divine call only to missionaries and pastors to get the gospel around the world. But he's given a call to a full-time occupation for every Christian to get the gospel to the lost and dying world. It's time to get serious about the task at hand. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today.